once like a bird in prison I dwell. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. And He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Oh, glory to God, He set me free. Oh, now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. Oh, He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. And glory to God, He set me free.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. I have a testimony. Amen. It's going to start out kind of weird because I'm going to tell you. Yesterday, as I was leaving the church, I got into a car accident. I know, it's not the end of the testimony, though. But I was thinking about what Pastor said, and I was thinking about how God has His hand on us. Amen. Of course, it was my fault, totally and completely. It was just a minor fender bender. Actually, the lady's car was probably not damaged at all. But I put a claim, and I picked a auto shop through my insurance. And when I got home and told my wife what time my appointment was, she said, "You can't make that." And so I was like, "Okay, I'll change it. So I was talking to Brother John this morning, and he does body work. And he says, "Well, why don't you bring it down to my body shop?" And I said, "Well, when I was rescheduling yesterday, I actually scheduled, without even knowing where Brother John worked, I scheduled an appointment this week." And he says, "When you get there, you say, I want Brother John to work." Well, not Brother John. I want John McCullen to work. They don't know him as Brother John over there yet. Yet. Amen. I want John to work on my truck. And he says, "And I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that they do you right." So God has His hand on stuff. Even if we have these minor accidents and things, God has His hand. He's working behind the scenes even when we don't know it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be faithful in your giving. Kids, be faithful in giving. Amen. All your life. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song again. Kids, are you ready for Sunday school? Oh, what are you guys doing to them back there? Are you guys ready today?
Yeah.
All right, praise the Lord. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. Oh, He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. And glory to God, He set me free. Oh, goodbye to sin and things that confound. Oh, not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to, and glory to God, I'm going through. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. And glory to God, He set me free.
Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Let me ask you to turn with me to a familiar portion of Old Testament Scripture. Just one verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, In verse number 14, there will be many here that already wouldn't even need to see it on the screen. You already know what it says. Amen. Thank you, musicians. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Amen. My topic today is ready for revival. Amen. Later this week, on Friday night, we'll be in Upper Brother Jarvis's church in Dayville, Killingly area. Dayville. And on Saturday, it's in Danbury, where Brother Thompson is pastoring. God is going to do a wonderful thing. Yes. Amen. In fact, I want to ask you a question, so be seated for just a moment, and I'm going to continue with my scripture, but I have a question. God wants to fill all of us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to speak of the Holy Ghost again today. I'm going to speak of this portion of Scripture. I'm going to speak of getting ready for revival. Amen. But the end of the week is some several days away. God wants us to get ready today. Amen. God wants us to get ready right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if there is someone that has not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you don't understand it, and you'd like to have a Bible study on that topic, I would be thrilled or very happy, or perhaps me and my wife, or perhaps Brother Dyke, or maybe Brother Zimmerman, or some other person in our church. But we can see to it that between now and Friday, before Friday, I'd like to see if we can get that individual or that family a Bible study to show you in Scripture what is taking place in our world today, where God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm offering a home Bible study between now and Friday. You say when, and we'll do our best effort to get someone to teach you that Bible study. Anybody got any takers today? Anybody want a Bible study at your house? I'll come to where you are. You want Bible study? Did you raise your hand? No. Okay, I seen a hand flash. It was quick. Be careful, you might own it. You know, you raise your hand in an auction, that's yours. I seen a hand. Praise the Lord. Hand back there? Okay, see me before you leave today, and we'll schedule a time to come over and do a Bible study. That's at least one. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm thrilled with one. Praise the Lord. I'm good with that. If you change your mind, my home phone number is on every card in this place. Call my house. We'll arrange it. We'll get her done, okay? God bless you. Amen. Back to Scripture. Ready for revival. Praise the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins or their sin and will heal their land. It's a powerful Old Testament portion of Scripture. Perhaps this verse of Scripture, just one place, 2 Chronicles 7:14, communicates the recipe for revival. Amen. As much as any other verse in Scripture, God addressed the people called by His name. I don't know of any other church in the world that would rather be called Jesus' name than this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think We are happy to be called Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Called by his name as that people, as my people. And then he called on these people that are called by my name to do four things. Number one, to humble themselves. Number two was to pray. Number three was to seek his face. And number four, to turn from their wicked ways. If they would do these four things, he promised to hear them, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Amen. God will do it. God keeps his word. He's a faithful God. God will hear the cry of the hungry and the thirsty for the Spirit. Those that are longing for revival. He will fill their lives with good things. Amen. He did it back then. It was an Old Testament prophecy. He fulfilled it in the New Testament right there in the Bible. And he's yet doing it now, today, in our lives. Let me use a New Testament example. Acts chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel spake with Cornelius, unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them and waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Man, this is an awesome story. It's just eight verses in our Bible, but here is a military man that's good in many people's sight. He has a lot of good features about him. He is doing the best that he knows how, and he gets a message from an angel to send for the preacher. Man, praise the Lord. Let's jump in down just a little bit here in Acts chapter 10 still, picking up reading at verse number 44. Jumping ahead in the story a little bit. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. It's an awesome story with a wonderful ending. There are yet in our world, just like this story, hungry people in our world. Both physically, yeah, there's people that are hungry for physical food, but there are also people that are hungry for something from God. hungry in their spirit for something more of God. Amen. Now, physical hunger may cause some people to stand at the intersection. You may have seen the sign, you know, I'm hungry, need food. You know, they're standing at the stoplight and they want you to roll your window down and hand them a, you know, they're hoping for a $5 bill, really. But you might give them. Now, that may help them with their physical hunger. They may get enough people to give them enough money to buy a meal. But really, the church should be concerned not with soup kitchens, but with soul kitchens. If they will find Jesus, I tell you, Jesus will fix the problem. Jesus will help them in their life a whole lot more than a $5 bill. Amen. Praise God. What they really need is God. When God enters your life, things become different. Amen. You see, revival is not just a mere social reform. Revival is the answer to the world's problems. Amen. If the world would just get Jesus, a whole lot of the problems in our world wouldn't be there. Amen. Praise the Lord with that. You see, doesn't matter what political party that you partake in, politics is not the answer. The government can't fix, as much as they'd like to say that they're going to fix everything, government is not going to fix everything. Doesn't matter what party you're from. Doesn't matter if you like the president or not. That's not the answer to our problems. Amen. If you give a hungry man a dry cracker, it's not going to satisfy his hunger very long. Amen. He needs more than what his physical body is in need of. Amen. Our spiritual man needs to be fed as well as our flesh. Just like the Apostle Peter, we should be ready to bridge the gaps that are in our society. You see, in their day, the Jews really didn't have anything to do with the Italians, the Samaritans, the not Jews. They were a separated society. And yet, the Apostle Peter was willing, by the influence of God, to bridge the gap, the racial, the economic, the social barriers that get in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a God that is for every portion of society. Yes, God can help that guy with the hungry sign. Yes, God can help the billionaire. Yes, God can help the businessman. And he can help the mom and dad with kids at home. Praise the Lord. There is a God that can help every one of us. Much like Cornelius, there are many people even today who, even though they lack the full plan of salvation, perhaps they haven't figured out everything yet in the Bible, but they are sincere in their quest for more truth. They are sincerely seeking after something from God. They know there is a God. They want to hear from God. They want a touch from God. You see, the Lord is leading them. He leads us to the truth that are in the Scriptures. We need to patiently avail ourselves to what the leading of the Lord is. The Lord is leading that person who doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, and the Lord is leading you. Amen. We together should follow after the plan of God. Amen. We need to have a desire for revival. There is a hunger and a thirst for things of God. You see, every individual, every man, woman, boy, and girl that has a desire for more of God, if they just seek Him, they'll find Him. Look here in the Scriptures. Find Him in the Word. God wants you to receive just what He has for you. God has the answer to your need. He is the answer. In the fourth beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you have a desire for more of God? Do you want to have more of God in your life? Do you want to have an experience that God has for you? God is a gentleman. He is not going to force Himself on anyone. You have to want God in your life, or you will not have God in your life. Amen. In the epistle that bears his own name, James wrote, James chapter 4, verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Stop living out of both. You can't have a double mind and please God. You can't live and congregate in the world and then have a true relationship with God. Amen. Any effort to move closer to God, it will cause God to respond. Amen. God doesn't ignore people seeking Him. God hears your sincere prayer. God knows your real need. Amen. He is able, willing, and able to help you. Desire is like the embryo of revival. Amen. It's how it starts, where it grows from. You got to have a desire. When you couple that desire with faith and with consecration, it causes the birth of revival. Revival just does not happen just by accident. Doesn't happen by chance. It comes by hunger and thirst for revival. Amen. Obviously, there is no way that a person can earn or buy revival. It's not for sale. Yet revival usually comes as a result of prayer and fasting and worship and a sincere seeking of the Lord. Amen. Someone that is looking for something from God. When we create that climate for revival by doing all that we know to do, when we have done our part, God gives revival. Amen. When revival comes, we dare not say that we caused it. You can't cause revival. But we are we're willing to do whatever is necessary. Willing to pray. Willing to fast. willing to worship, willing to seek God with our whole heart. Praise the Lord. This example in Scripture, Acts chapter 10, is talking about a spiritually hungry person. It's talking about a devoted man. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, or he was in the military, of the band called the Italian band. Scripture says, a devout man and one that feared God. Looking pretty good so far, don't you think? A devout man feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This guy prayed every day. This guy was devout. This guy feared God. This guy brought his house upright. This guy gave much alms. He was generous. The scriptures reveal that Cornelius, he definitely had a good reputation. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, called Cornelius a devout man. The three men, two household servants and a soldier from Cornelius, or whom Cornelius sent to Joppa, they told Peter the master plan that their master was a just man. Although Acts chapter 10 records other good things that were said of Cornelius, the two words, devout and just, describe the impeccable moral goodness of Cornelius. The American Heritage Dictionary defines the word devout as devoted to religion or to fulfillment of religious obligations, displaying a reverence or piety, sincere, earnest. You know, this guy was religious. He had a form of religion. He feared God, prayed always. He had lots of good stuff about him. The same dictionary defines the word just as honorable and fair in one's dealings and actions, consistent with what is morally right, righteous. Cornelius was a just and a devout man, morally upright, and generous to the poor. But he was not free from sin. How many people in our world today, well, that's a good man. He's a really good guy. He's religious. He fears God. He prays every day. He brings up his house right. And he's generous. Among other good things. Good moral standing. Good, respected in authority. There's a whole lot of people in our world today that are doing the very best that they know how to do. And yet, there is more to have in God. Amen. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Like other sinners, Cornelius needed to receive a conversion experience. It was his good works and earnest desire for God to lead him to salvation, to lead him to Jesus Christ, that brought an angel and told him to send for Simon Peter. Send to Joppa. Bring Simon Peter. He's got a message for you. The same guy who preached Acts 2:38. Send for the preacher. He's got a message for you. Acts chapter 11, verse 14 says, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. The angel didn't tell him how to be saved. He needed to hear the preacher. He needed to hear what the word had to say. Today, there are so many people in our world, devout, just, even devout and just people could well be confused or even deceived about their salvation experience. A lot of people think, well, I'm okay. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal anything. I'm all right. Just because you didn't steal anything or because you didn't kill anybody does not make you right. Just because this guy had a lot of really good characteristics, he was a very fine, upstanding, respectable person in the community, and yet he was not fully right with God. Though they live morally, good lives, and do their very human best to live without sin, yet unless they have received the born-again experience proclaimed in the New Testament, in Acts 2:38, they are sinners without Jesus Christ. It is the name of Jesus Christ that remits or pays for sin, according to Scripture. We cannot, by our own works, be righteous, or we cannot earn our way into heaven. We need the name of Jesus applied to our lives. Amen. Just as it is in Scripture. Romans 3:20, Galatians 2:16, Ephesians 2, verse 9. Over and over again, it tells in Scripture. Here is a man that feared God. The Scriptures reveal that Cornelius feared God. But he was not in terror. He wasn't afraid of God. He had a very reverential, he reverenced God. He had a high respect, a high regard for God. He had a deep belief in God. Though he did not know all that was necessary for salvation, Cornelius needed to have a revelation. He needed to understand who Jesus is. You see, Cornelius's proper appreciation for the sacred things, which he is very commendable. It's admirable even in him that he knew little about the ways of God, but he was not skeptical about those things he did not know. Conversely, he was not satisfied with the limited knowledge that he did have. It's not enough. I don't know enough about God. I need to know more of God. Amen. He was a man that feared God. He was a man that gave alms. Willingness to give is one of the truest tests of goodness. Of all the positive things of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11, it would be meaningless if he was a tight-fisted, greedy person. But he wasn't. He gave alms. He helped people. He was generous. See, all of his actions attracted God's attention, since they displayed his sincerity and his hunger for God. Our selfishness, when we ourselves are selfish, we can thaw God's desire to do good things in us. We can hinder God moving in us. But generosity is able to open the doors of blessing. Amen. When we open our hand toward others, it opens God's hand toward us. We give to others, and God gives to us. The angel said unto Cornelius, thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. God seen his generosity. God seen his devotion. God heard his prayers. He was a prayerful man. Not only did the generosity of Cornelius catch God's attention, but also his prayers. Cornelius prayed to God always. Acts 10, verse 2. Just how much or how often Cornelius prayed, it doesn't really say. We don't really know exactly, but his prayers were significant. The scriptures describe his prayers as going to God always. That would seem to me he prayed every day. He prayed. He asked God often. He talked to God often. Daily. Continually. So what was the measure of his prayers? They amounted to more than saying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It's more than thank you for the food that we're about to eat. It's more than just that. Amen. Cornelius prayed and God sent an angel from heaven. Yet he was not saved. I mean, his prayers worked. I mean, God heard his prayers. God acted on them. And he was not saved. Our financial contributions, prayers, a moral lifestyle. You see, these things are not able to save us. We're not saved because we're nice. We're not saved because people like you. Neither does an angelic visitation, an angel coming, indicate that a person is saved. Only Jesus Christ could save Cornelius. And that by the plan that was established by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That plan of scripture right there, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, is the plan that God used to save souls. This man was visited by an angel. The angel instructed Cornelius to send to Joppa and call for Simon Peter. Acts chapter 10, verse 6 records, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Acts 11, verse 14 says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? It is clear to Cornelius that he needed to hear what Simon Peter had to say unto him about salvation. The apostle, see, there was an apostle that was used by God. God prepared him ahead of time. He gave Peter a vision in preparation for this encounter. While at Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa, Peter went to the top of the house at noontime to pray. Growing hungry, he would have eaten, but the meal was not yet ready. And while he waited, he continued praying, and in his prayer he saw a vision. Peter saw what it looked like was a great sheet descending from heaven. And the sheet contained various kinds of four-footed animals that were, by the Jewish law, considered unsuitable for eating. animals that they were not to partake of. Acts chapter 10, verse 13. And there came a voice unto him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." First thing he does, "No way. I ain't doing it." Verse 14, the very next verse. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." I don't want nothing in that sheet. Nothing there will enter my mouth. Three times this same vision comes to the preacher. The Lord said, verse number 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. The preacher received the same vision three times. Unclean, ungodly, things that they were, by the Old Testament, not to eat. And God said, "What I have cleansed, call thou not common." Amen. God was trying to communicate a vital and important truth to Simon Peter. He was trying to show the preacher his plan. While Peter was thinking about the meaning of the vision, he's still up on the housetop. He's trying to get his head around, trying to understand what God is saying. Someone's knocking on the door. What? He hadn't even come downstairs yet. He hadn't even finished thinking about it yet. "Is Simon Peter here? How did they know I was up here?" "Well, an angel of God sent him 2 days ago to get here so that you could come with him." You know what? God works in mysterious ways. God was working at saving you before you got here. God was working on me before we ever arrived. Amen. Praise the Lord. While Peter was thinking about the meaning of the vision, the three men from Cornelius came to the gate of the house, and they were inquiring Simon Peter if he was lodging there. After Peter heard their mission, he began to understand the vision that he had seen. He had invited them in, he gave them lodging for the night, and then he returned with them the next day to Caesarea. Peter made that visit. Though reluctant due to the requirements of the Jewish law, Peter responded favorably to the men and accompanied them to Cornelius' house. He, a Jew, was going with the Gentiles to a Gentile's house. Peter preached a brief message to those gathered about Jesus Christ. He preached a message about who Jesus is and his crucifixion, his resurrection, his salvation plan. Peter's willingness to go to the Gentile's house and to preach the revolutionary, and it was at that time, it was revolutionary. It was a monumental step, if I can say my words right. It was a tremendous leap, like that man going on the small step for mankind, or a small step for man, a great leap for mankind. This was just like that. One man come to preach to one man. But yet it was opening the doors of the gospel for every race and kindred of people on earth. It was opening the door for something bigger and greater and more wonderful than they had ever seen before. It was something that was going to change the way that humanity would receive the gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord. His willingness to go changed things. He was changed by going. By his visit, he sent the message to the church that to the Jews and to the Gentiles alike, that the gospel is for all people everywhere. It was for everybody. Amen. I am so thrilled. I'm so happy that this church has every different color and kind and sort of people in it, that it is a, you know, it's not just all white, or it's not just all black, or we're just not all Spanish, or we're just not all one of a kind. God wants all of us. God wants every one of us. God wants every nation under heaven to hear this message. Praise the Lord. God so loved the world. John 3:16. Not just part of the world, but the whole world. As we reach out to the lost of the world, we need to remember that He loves every race, every nation, every person. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's religious people in our world that need to be saved. Amen. Just like this man. Just like this man. Just like Cornelius. You see, God is not a respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." I tell you, if you have a desire for God, he wants to give you revival. He wants to give you his plan. God wants to fill your life with him. The Gentiles were at the very beginning. The Gentiles were the ones that were afar off. The Jews used to think that only the Jews could be saved. The Gentiles, they were the far off ones. You know, that's me. People, when I was, you know, BC, before Christ, nobody thought that guy's going to get saved. I laugh at it too. Can you imagine mustache, goatee, hair out to your shoulders and down the middle of your back, preaching the gospel? Well, that was a long time ago. But God is able to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is able to do it. We must always remember that the gospel is, it's not for us alone. It's not just for me. But it's for whosoever will receive it. Amen. Anybody who wants God, Jesus Christ, can have him. Amen. Yes, we see the plan of salvation, Acts 2:38, and the next verse, 2:39, in Acts says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." See, this is the plan that the scriptures say is for salvation. The Gentiles were receiving the gospel. Acts chapter 10, verse 33. There are people that will hear this message. "Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee," Acts 10:33, "and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." He was like a sponge getting ready to soak up something from God. He had such a great desire to hear. The angel told me, you have something that I need to hear. You have something from God for me. We're all here. We're right now. We're ready to hear it. Go ahead and tell me. He wanted to hear about God. He had a desire. He had a thirst. He was hungry. Peter opened his mouth to speak the gospel to the people. But before he could even finish delivering the whole gospel message, they opened their hearts. They released their faith in Jesus Christ. And God poured out his Spirit upon them. Every revival begins with an openness. Acts 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, he wasn't even done preaching yet, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Is there a desire in your heart? Do you want something from God? Do you really want to know what God has for you? Do you have a desire to know what the Bible really says? Cornelius and his house spoke with tongues as the Holy Ghost fell upon them. It's interesting that the Jews who accompanied Peter were convinced that the Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost by the sign of speaking in tongues. Verse 46 of chapter 10, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Here is water. I can see the heaters are plugged in. That water's warm. Amen. Today would be a good day to be baptized. Today would be a day to fulfill this portion of Scripture in your life. God can remove, remit, take away your sins by his great name. The only way any person has ever been baptized in that baptismal tank is in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We wouldn't baptize in any other. We don't baptize in titles. We baptize in the name. Because we want the name of Jesus. That verse of scripture, Acts 2:38, tells us what to do to repent and be baptized. It tells us why, for the remission, for the payment of sins. And then it gives us that promise, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, it is also evident by Peter's command of baptism that receiving the Holy Ghost is not sufficient without water baptism. There were people in scriptures that received the Holy Ghost after they were baptized. Amen. And there are instances of people who received the Holy Ghost first and then needed, got commanded to be baptized. And it really does matter how you're baptized. In the name that's above every other name. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Musicians, will you come? I'm closing here. God gave revival to Caesarea. He also will give revival to every home, every church, every city that desires this message. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, put it on this. Would you read this out loud with me? Join me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's just as it was then, it is now. God addressed the people that were called by his name, my people. I can think of no greater privilege or honor than to be called Jesus' name. Yeah. You know, I am not offended if somebody looks at me and points their finger at me and said, you're Jesus' name. Thank you very much. You're right. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is no other God. He is the Holy One. Amen. Humble yourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from your wicked ways. It's the same message today. Would you stand with me? We could do these things here today. We could do what it says in Scripture. We can obey what it has for us today. Do you desire him? Are you thirsty for him? Are you hungry for a move of God in your life? I tell you, God is here right now to meet your need. Would you join me? Lift your hands. Let's lift our voices. This altar is now open. I invite you to come. God is able to meet your need. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I magnify you, God. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I magnify you. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. Lord, I love you, God. Let's sing. Let's worship him. Let's magnify God. Come around the front. Let's gather at this altar. Let's magnify God.
Jesus, beautiful,
so beautiful.
Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? He is God and one of us, lover of our soul. Oh, isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Salvation in the name, there is life in the name, there is no other name but Jesus, but Jesus. Oh, isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Thank you, Jesus, Lord.
Yes, all the world can come to him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Oh, and isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Yes, he is God and one of us, lover of our souls.
Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful?
There is freedom in the name. name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. But Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. But Jesus. Oh, isn't the name of Jesus powerful?
So powerful.
Hallelujah. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful?
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, the chains are broken when it's spoken, and every knee must bow. Oh, isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Oh, there is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name, salvation in the name, and there is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus, but Jesus. Oh, there is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name, salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus, but Jesus. Oh, but Jesus, but Jesus. Yes, but Jesus.
No other name, no other name, I know. No other name, no other name. other name. I know no other name.
No other name I know. Be exalted, Lord. Be exalted. Oh, be exalted. Be exalted higher and higher. Be exalted, God.
Be exalted.
Oh, be exalted.
Be exalted.
Oh, be exalted, Lord.
Be exalted.
Oh,
higher and higher.
Oh, higher. And higher.
Hallelujah.
Be exalted, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Getting ready for revival. I want to be ready for whatever God wants to do in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we just tell the Lord, Jesus, help me to be ready, God, for whatever you want to do, God. Be ready, Lord, for whatever you want to do, Jesus. Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, God. Whatever you want to do in my family, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm so appreciative of your power working today, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What a mighty, powerful time in the presence of God we've had today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Great, great, great. Ready for revival, amen. I want to be ready, amen. Hallelujah. And it just when you read that story of Cornelius, just expect the unexpected, amen. Expect God to move, amen. You read that story and you say, well, I don't think I would have done it like that. Amen. I don't think you're not God. Let God be God. Amen. Just get ready for him to move. Amen. Hallelujah. When you look at the end of the story, amen, he commanded them to be baptized. Amen. And their whole household was saved. Amen. That's the blessing, amen, of preparation and being ready for God doing something in your life, is that it spills over into your family. It spills over into the people you work with. Amen. The blessing doesn't just... God didn't bless you to just be blessed alone. Amen. He blessed you so you could be a blessing to other people. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So good to be here. Let's pray a dismissal prayer. Amen. Right now, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for protecting us, leading us, guiding us, God. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us. Wherever we go, Lord God, we thank you for the hand of God on our families, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us and keeping us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. It's so good to see our guests here. Mary, good to see you always. Amen. And there's others that came in, but God is so good. Thank you so much for coming. Greet one another in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
Hallelujah. Except like this.